Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Monday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooke. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking time out each Monday to begin with some inspiration. Happy Valentine's Day, and to talk about current events. That's very important this day and this week for homeopaths around the world, and to read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is February 14th, 2011. You're listening to show number 132. Thank you so much for joining me and my guests. We're going to have Marilyn Friedman, a Toronto homeopath, on the line today. And we're going to start with some inspiration. So, Marilyn, are you with us?
Hi, Debbie. Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm with us.
Great. Well, today is the day of love. There is not anything better for a patient than love. There is not a better remedy than love. There is not a profession made to suit love than to do what we love. And we all love homeopathy, that's for sure. There is not anything better to cure the mind, the emotions, and the body than love, because we are conceived by love, formed by love, within the life process of birth by love. And with that beautiful energy, we were created by God's love with abundance and force to live with love. Do not forget, we all have a heart full of love to share and to give away, not only to mankind, but to ourselves. And this is a special message from I Love Homeopathy. You could have guessed that one from Beatrice. And it says, Happy Valentine's Day to all of our fans from the Remedy of the Day. Please receive our love, respect, thanks, and please share it with all people that need a love word to start healing with love. You know, I'm going to have to go back and read how many times the word love was in that little message. So, and I know that you also sent out a special message of love today. And I think Heidi, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do. Okay, we're going to have a special guest today, Heidi Stevenson from Gaia Health, and she's going to introduce herself in a moment.
I am?
But we're into the important stuff. You're going to be our spokesperson. I also wanted to thank our sponsor, Roger Van Zandvoort, for showing his belief in HWC, Homeopathy World Community. And you can find his incredible computer program. You can even download a free version of it from www.completedynamics.com. Okay, Marilyn, do you have a few words for this special day of love?
Happy Valentine's Day. You know, years ago when I was in homeopathic college, I was at a seminar, and I don't even remember who it was, and they were talking about love, and I said, you know, of course, homeopathy, right, is all about love. Love is the best remedy, and after that comes homeopathy. And I think I have that on my Skype message and on my Twitter, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know, it would be great when you're doing a meditation show, aren't you, Debbie?
I did the second one last night, and
you
could not believe what happened. A person from Washington, D.C. called in. I didn't expect anybody to call in, and I couldn't stop in the middle of the meditation and answer the phone line, but you know, people are just learning how to use social networking and the internet. And I don't want to give a plug, but she went to visit Fly Lady. And I don't know how many people have learned about Fly Lady. I've known about her for like a decade. She's a person who helps you organize and clean your home. And right there on Blog Talk Radio, for some reason, this woman said, oh, look, there's a meditation show coming up. And she called in thinking that's how you work the system, not realizing it's just a radio show where you listen, where you could go on the Blog Talk Radio chat, which I do hope that people go there to post comments and questions during our show, but only invited guests or people we know are going to come in the call-in line. And that's so people are really not familiar with the process of how we use the Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, I ended up calling this woman after the show, and we had a long talk, and she's a nurse. So it was really, you know, you meet people on social networking just because if you put yourself out there, people will find you, and it's really God's connection as far as I'm concerned. There's no coincidences, just like we've all met up.
Did she do the meditation?
Yes, she did the meditation with
Great.
Me. She appreciated that.
Great.
So who knows, I might meet her in person one day, especially if everybody's going to go to the National Center for Homeopathy program, the conference, April 8th through 10th, and I want people to know about that also. So just to tell everyone that this is a simple study session, and if any listeners need health advice, they need to contact their health care provider. Okay?
Absolutely.
Yes, and people can also... if you like this show, you can go on the Blog Talk Radio and you can click Twitter. You can put it on Facebook. You can share this widget on your very own website. There's so many things that you can do with the, it's incredible. You can download all of the shows and listen to them at your convenience at any time. And
while you're on the treadmill.
While you're on the treadmill, do a meditation or learn and study.
Right.
So, and also let people know, I wanted to let people know, we have up to 170 contributors on our Homeopaths Daily. It's http://bit.ly/homeopathsdaily. And we have fantastic articles, and a lot of them are Heidi's. Thank you, Heidi.
Yeah, Heidi,
yeah,
you do.
Thanks.
Her articles are just so... potent and educational and on spot, because she's at the edge of what's happening in the world and wants to let people know.
Yeah, Heidi does a lot of great research.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That
I
makes
you
it,
to
makes
put
it
that
very. Mm-hmm. I thought I would do something fun. This is a, kind of like an intro to our show today. It's our puzzler for the day. It's called Cracking. And it reminds me of the way that statistics can be manipulated to say whatever you want. A cracker company was very mad when they heard the results from their cracker survey. The results said that the well, a wise cracker. The results said that the customers would prefer crackers to nothing at all. And the same customers think that donuts are better than everything else. And a new employee at the company had to tell their boss the bad news, but he saw a window of opportunity to get a promotion. When he got to his boss, he told him that the customers really preferred crackers to donuts. I wonder how he did that. Should I tell right away, or should I give them time to think about it and tell later the answer?
No, tell right away.
Tell right away.
Please
okay.
do. Please do.
Okay. The new employee told the boss that they know two facts. Okay? They're basing it on these statistics and scientific evidence. One, logic says crackers are better than nothing. And then line two is nothing is better than the donuts. So we have the line when you put it together. What is that? A plus B equals C, or if you put the two of them together, you get that crackers are better than donuts. And you might have to think
good.
About that for a minute. And
that
so that's
excellent.
How, yeah, they can really twist things around and make it sound good when really the truth is not that way, the gestalt of it all.
What kind of logic do we call that?
Trickery.
I have a word. I
yes.
call it lies.
Yeah.
Because it's intentional.
Right, it is true. It's a half-truth, and a half-truth is a lie. So the second
Amen.
Puzzler, we have one more puzzler for today. The second puzzler may astound you, just like the way a magician can trick an audience, or even rationally thinking people can be tricked. Okay, so for right now, I'm called Professor, pick a number. It's PICANUMBA. Pick a number. I play the part of Professor Pick a Number, and I will amaze and astound you. Take a piece of paper and write any word on it. You can even do it right now. It's very easy to do. Fold the paper in half twice and put it on the floor. Now stand on it. It takes a moment to do that. And believe it or not, I will now tell you what is on the paper. And to tell you the truth, when I read this puzzler, I knew the answer right away. It didn't astound me at all. And I don't know whether I'm a brainy or it was just too simple not to know. So you want the answer right away?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
yes.
Tell us what's on the paper.
Okay, you want it, everybody, what have you written on the paper? Now, what's on the paper is, your foot is on the paper, and look down. Look down if you don't believe me. So I got a little chuckle out of you today. Unfortunately, we have to go to some serious issues, and I wanted to talk with Heidi because she had written a very lucid account of what is going on in the world in the UK, and to limit and restrict the availability of homeopathic medicines to the people, and that some action is needed. And I was wondering, do you want to go ahead and read what you've written?
Oh, I'm going to let you do the reading if you don't mind. My voice is not really strong today.
Okay.
But as to what I think the important point to be made is that this is not happening just in the UK. It's happening to all natural medicines everywhere in the world. Different methods are being used in different places. Most of the time it's subtle. Sometimes it's with a sledgehammer. But even when it doesn't work this time, they keep coming back over and over and over, and you know where the real power is. It's where the money is. And we're homeopaths, and we know that we're not the ones with the money. Unfortunately. So what we have to do is get together and not ignore what's happening, not deny what's happening, not live in a wishful world of, well, it's not really going to be all that bad, because it will be. Maybe not immediately, but once the foot is in the door, once that camel's nose is in the tent, it's basically over. We
mm-hmm.
have to stop them. And that means, realistically, no one, not a single one of us, none of our patients can simply sit back and take it easy and say, well, it's not really my problem. It's not really going to affect me. Oh, that remedy, that's not my remedy. You get the message here. We need to get together. At the very least, we all have to write a letter.
Right. We have to take some
okay.
action.
Heidi, it sounds all very ominous what you're saying, but can you just give us a little bit more detail so that...
Did you want me to read,
okay, well,
or do you want to give us detail? Go ahead.
Well, it's hard to give detail because the details vary from place to place. The techniques that used are different in different places. But one thing, what's happening specifically in this instance is that they're not attacking homeopaths directly, but they're leaving the door open to cut homeopaths out very quickly and very, very easily simply by not saying homeopaths can do this. You could get into the idea that common law says, well, if it's not specifically illegal, then it must be legal. That's no longer true in the UK or anywhere in Europe, and that needs to be understood because the European Union has co-opted that. And it's what's happening is if it's not specifically legal, it becomes illegal. And we need to understand and accept that. The same thing is subtly happening in the U.S. too. These things are happening mostly through the FDA and through different techniques, but most of you probably know that raw milk is under massive attack. In many areas of the U.S., there are many remedies that are no longer available. No-sulfs are not available everywhere in the U.S. That's a huge loss. And yet most American homeopaths aren't really even aware of that. Yet it's going to affect them all. That's why every little incursion into our ability to practice needs to be recognized and stopped. And if there's any question that maybe it won't be a problem for us, assume that it will be, because there's no harm speaking out finding that, it's not going to happen. I'm getting carried away, so I've got to be quiet here.
You're doing great because you're very passionate about this issue, and we can't be an ostrich and put our heads in the sand and not look at it. We do have to pick our head up and take a look around and take some action, and that's what we're asking people to do. And I sent a broadcast message to that effect. There is both articles on Facebook and on HWC regarding one particular issue. Marilyn, did you want to read what Heidi had written on February 5th on her website, Gaia?
Yeah, my pleasure. I also did want to add that, although you didn't mention it, Heidi, you know, Canada, we're under the same attacks and we have the same problems.
Yes.
And there's a massive campaign right now against homeopathy.
That's because
that
they're very organized. They're very organized and well-funded, and they can do this, and they can hire people to broadcast information all around and take specific actions. And we're out there healing people.
Right.
So we're in our clinic and helping people to get better, and that's our main focus and function in life, to love and help people who are suffering.
I want to say one thing, Debbie. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the homeopathic associations got together and everybody got emailed, whoever was connected got emailed from their different associations, and because of the homeopathy world community, what happened here in Ontario, because it was a huge bus campaign against homeopathy, that means that buses in the city, you know, had a campaign against homeopathy written on their sides. And so because we were so organized and we were all together as one voice, so many people just, you know, did everything that they could against this group. And there was also...
Did they take down the bus advertising?
They're not doing it anymore. It's finished.
Okay, a lot of people don't realize what you're talking about. That buses can have posters on them, like advertising, and they plastered on the sides of these buses something that was very negative toward alternative medicine, complementary.
No, homeopathy. Alternative medicine. It was specifically
homeopathy.
Homeopathy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have an article here about that. Okay, so let's go ahead and read what she has written, Heidi has written in her blog.
Okay, so this was written the 5th of February. At its inception shortly after World War II, the UK's National Health Service, which in short we'll call it the NHS, promised that homeopathy would be available. Now the HSS is making a lie of its promise as it does an end run around the alternative medicine, clearly intending not only to eliminate it from the NHS, but also from the UK. Of course, you'll never hear them admit it. However, careful reading of their document, which is called the Review of Medicine Acts 1968, Informal Consultation on Issues Relating to the PLR Regime and Homeopathy, reveals that their goal is to eliminate most applications of homeopathy and allow its application only by allopathic practitioners. This is a call to action for everyone who values homeopathic treatment in the UK. So,
right. Right. So that kind of restates exactly what Heidi just told us. And on her website, there is a link where you can actually read the Review of Medicines Act 1968. Okay, go ahead.
So the document summary is that in July 2010, a major attack was made on homeopathy by the House of Commons Science and Technology Select Committee. The government held that they would not, at that time, limit access to homeopathic remedies. That development was cheered by homeopaths and their patients. However, less well known was the decision to readdress the issue through other means, specifically the Review of Medicines Act 1968, which will happen shortly after the February 18th, 2011, which is less than 2 weeks away.
Well, now it's less than four days away. 4 days.
So careful reading of that document leaves little room to doubt that homeopathic remedies will be squeezed and their use will be limited to a small number of off-the-shelf products or by prescription from allopathic doctors. And those doctors will be required to consider all possible allopathic treatments first before prescribing homeopathic remedies. And for those who do not know what an allopathic doctor is, I just want to say an allopath is somebody who practices conventional Western medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not alternative or holistic medicine. So this document does not specifically state that professional homeopaths will be unable to practice. However, homeopaths are simply not named among the practitioners identified as able to prescribe the remedies. So since 1968, homeopathic remedies have been licensed under the product licenses of Right, which is PLRs. All medicinal products that were on the market when the Medicines Act was implemented in 1971 were automatically granted PLR status, meaning that buying and selling them was considered a right. Allopathic drugs, in other words, conventional drugs, were reviewed by the 1990s and granted a full product license, or they lost their PLR. Homeopathic remedies have not been trialed in the same manner.
Can you clarify this a little bit more? You're saying that homeopathic medicines, remedies, were considered a right, just like we're doing the radio show Vaccinations and Your Right. What are your rights? And so they're
not
like
exactly. No,
off
no,
the
no,
shelf?
Not exactly. No.
Okay.
Think of right as more in, as part of the term. In a sense, it would be more accurate to say that homeopathic remedies were grandfathered in. They were allowed because they had always been allowed.
Okay.
And it was understood that allopathic drugs, pharmaceutical drugs,
mm-hmm.
would have to go through a standard drug procedure, pharmaceutical type of testing procedure, which is, of course, what's required anyway. And that has been implemented for them. However, not for homeopathic remedies. But at the same time, there is the distinction between the two. Homeopathic remedies do not operate under the same philosophy, under the same theories. So that hasn't been applied because it simply doesn't apply. Does that make sense?
Okay. It's a different form of medicine. And
exactly.
And pharmaceutical drugs have tons and tons of side effects, and they have to prove their efficacy, and they're crude drugs. They're typically toxins or poisons, and therefore they have to spend many, many millions of dollars and years to test them on, I guess they test them both in clinical trials on both not only animals but on well and not and sick individuals where those drugs are going to be applied.
Well, it actually is a little more complex than that. It has been understood that homeopathic remedies do not operate in the same manner and therefore can't be tested in the same manner. And so they haven't been. There has been no attempt to trial them in exactly the same way. Now all of a sudden they're saying, oh, they have to meet the same standards as pharmaceutical drugs. In other words, all those demands to make homeopathic treatment adhere to the same rules that they don't by nature adhere to are being forced on it, which effectively prevents homeopathy from being used. And
right.
I think I'll stop there, but I think
Heidi, I think it
covers it. Yes.
Heidi, is that what's going on with the nozodes? I mean, we in Canada, we can't get a lot of nozodes here.
No, it's not how it's happened. It's been a fairly arbitrary thing. Somebody's looked at it and said, nozodes, look what they're made from. Oh, they're dangerous. We can't let you handle that stuff, so you can't make nozodes remedies from those things because they're too dangerous.
Yeah, okay.
Right, because they don't understand it at all. And
right.
And yet they want their cake and eat it too. They want to say that it's nothing and there's nothing in them, not a molecule, not an atom or anything else, and yet they're going to say it's dangerous. So,
amen.
You know, they
true.
Sit on both sides of the fence.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
What? You want me to read?
I didn't know if I cut off Heidi.
Oh, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay, so the EU's directive.
It's time to step up.
Go ahead, step up to the plate.
Who's stepping up to the plate, ladies?
Okay,
you
the
are,
EU's.
okay, so the EU's directive 2001/83/EC did not state that homeopathic remedies had to meet the same regulations. However, the new plan is to toss the PLRs. Three different replacement approaches are reviewed, but only one is treated as an option. The National Rule Scheme, which is the NRS, would allow homeopathic remedies to be indicated only for mild self-limiting conditions. Mm-hmm. The document issued by MHRA is written in a rather disjointed manner, making the effect on professional homeopathy difficult to interpret. However, close examination does clarify where the MHRA is headed. The MHRA wants to force homeopathic remedies that currently have PLR status into the NRS scheme, and proposes that the usual fees be waived until April 2013. This, though, would regulate homeopathic treatment to only mild conditions that are considered self-limiting. This would effectively freeze the development of new remedies. If professional homeopaths are eliminated, it would also mean that access to homeopathic remedies for serious conditions would disappear. And this appears to be the ultimate goal of the MHRA. A significant amount of space is taken to discuss the implications to anthroposophic practitioners, with a focus on the requirement that homeopathic dosing be only oral or external, which eliminates the injection method often prescribed by anthroposophic medicine. Of particular concern to homeopaths is that the discussion moves to the entire issue into the arena of who can decimate homeopathic remedies. They
disseminate.
What did I say? Decimate?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Same thing here.
also a good choice of a word. They state that an independent prescriber is a doctor, dentist, nurse, or pharmacist independent prescriber. That clearly leaves most professional homeopaths out of the picture.
Isn't that unusual? They're giving the power of taking care of patients and prescribing for homeopathic remedies to persons who don't use them and have no knowledge about them. So they're not going to use or prescribe them, and they shouldn't anyway, because they're not versed in homeopathy as a dynamic form of medicine. So,
I agree with that completely.
So we need to do something about it. Hopefully we'll get along in this article and find out what we can do. So
you want me to continue?
Yes, please. And tell me again, what does MHRA stand for?
I don't think I included it. It's understood. You could think of it as the equivalent of the FDA in the UK.
Okay. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Which would be what? Health Canada in Canada?
Health Canada is actually bigger. Health Canada is sort of like a combination of the CDC, NIH, and FDA all rolled into one, I think.
Okay.
Whereas they're more split up, those powers are more split up in the U.S. and also over here in the U.K.
Okay. So the section of the... Sorry?
Go ahead.
The section of the MHRA's report entitled The Non-Orthodox Practitioner Scheme is of particular concern. It defines them as holding a manufacturer's license authorizing mix and assembly of medicinal products. Homeopaths, whom one would think are non-orthodox practitioners, are not what's defined here. As a rule, homeopaths prescribe homeopathic remedies. They do not manufacture them. Yet the MHRA appears to be defining only those who manufacture homeopathic remedies as practitioners.
It's very peculiar, because you go to a doctor to get a drug or medicine. You don't go directly to your pharmacist to say, give me this drug, or ask them to prescribe something for you. So it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Well, it makes perfect sense when you think of intent, because there would be no reason to limit it to this particular group unless that's the intention. And yet it looks, it appears to be inclusive of practicing homeopaths who are not also allopaths, but it isn't. It's a rather clever way of hiding what the real intent is.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm just wondering, it's curious, because I will take a remedy, put it in water, right? Put it in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Put in some alcohol. Would that be considered manufacturing a remedy? I could suppose it would be.
I considered that, but since it doesn't seem to be clearly defined, we must assume that they mean manufacturing, as in Helios Pharmacy in the UK, and that's a major homeopathic. Manufacturer here, as opposed to, let me put it this way. It appears to be more inclusive, but the actual effect has to be assumed to be disinclusive. In other words, to be only those who actually are making the remedies from scratch.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
That was a little bit disjointed. I'm sorry.
It's very interesting. It's like our puzzler today, how they're manipulating these words, what is being included and what is not being included in the purview of homeopathic care, homeopathic prescriptions, and homeopathic remedies. Who has the rights to those arenas of healthcare? And we have some guests in the live chat today. We've got someone from Israel who is saying in her little circle in the States and in Israel, she feels that there is more use and understanding in homeopathy and she feels that it is more use of alternative medicine. And then we have Dr. Bob, who is telling us in metaphor or analogy that the EPA can only regulate pesticides that they have proven to be harmful in some quantifiable way. And no one can prove that homeopathic remedies are harmful. So he's kind of going at it in a different form of logic. And he gives the example that nosodes have nothing in them. So how can they regulate nothing? Oh, that's a very good way to do it.
well, that's nice. That's true logically. But that doesn't matter in terms of the arena that we're discussing here. The fact is they're doing it, whether it's reasonable or not. It's happening.
Right. So from the perspective of the medical community and the homeopathic community, it's something that's actually in the process of happening. And so we can't have a blind eye to it. And we must say, well, even if it doesn't fit into the logical scheme of things, we still have to take steps before we lose our rights. Okay,
right.
So
you know what happens in the UK is just, you know, a couple of steps ahead of what's happening in Canada or what's happening elsewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
true.
So we have to be
that
very active, and we have to support our friends in the UK because they're having a very tough time.
Absolutely.
We need to
support each other. So continue. The concern is particularly clear where the documents state that there are at most 220 non-orthodox practitioners, the NOP licenses. The MHRA recommends ending the NOP scheme, the non-orthodox practitioner scheme. In reality, it is a tiny number of manufacturer homeopaths whose numbers are apparently significantly lower than the 200 official licenses. So the only group of homeopaths...
May I interrupt?
Go ahead.
I'd like to interrupt here. When Marilyn brought this up and asked me, I wasn't thinking in that direction, so I didn't answer the question well, and I fumbled a lot. I want to make clear, those particular practitioners who are approved, that they're talking about as being manufacturers, they're actually a limited number. There are only 220 licensees, but they're probably only a small fraction of that who are actually practicing now. So the reality is they're saying that these are the only people who would be allowed to prescribe, but at the same time, we're going to not even allow them to prescribe because that's what's coming up here. So the answer is no. The fact that you might mix a remedy with water will not make you a manufacturer under this scheme.
Right.
Okay.
And sorry I didn't make that clear before.
Thank you very much.
Please go ahead, Debbie.
So the only group of homeopathic practitioners who will even be recognized by the MHRA is to be eliminated. That's what you just stated. The UK does not license homeopaths. The reality is that their definition of an NOP is that of a person who manufactures and supplies homeopathic remedies, not of one who prescribes them. Yet they discuss the issue as if they do prescribe. And in the United States as well, we have no governing body that licenses homeopaths, although in each individual state, we have particular rules and regulations. In my state of North Carolina, if you are a MD, an acupuncturist, or a naturopath, you may practice homeopathy. That's it. Homeopaths are not listed.
You know, in Ontario, our government is in the process of regulating us.
Mm-hmm. So it's all happening. It's all coming down the pike. So implications for homeopathy. Where are the references to practicing homeopaths? That's a good question, Heidi. The MHRA's document has none. With the manner, it's sort of like we're invisible. with the manner in which new regulations, it's not like us as homeopaths, we're sticking our heads in the sand and not looking at what's happening all around us in the policy-making world. They're just ignoring us completely and saying, you're not even you're not factoring into this. With the manner in which new regulations are currently handled in the UK, the absence of authority equates with illegality. That is, if a practice or product is not specifically licensed, then it is deemed illegal. It's sort of like a negative. It's sort of like
it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is
not
I have a
only
question.
This is. Go ahead.
I have a question, Heidi. You're in the UK, right?
I am. I spent most of my life in the US, as you can hear in my accent.
Okay. So here's the question: If the government does not presently license homeopaths, can't the homeopaths and all their associations get together, self-regulate, and ask the government to license them? I mean, that's
have
what
you
we
ever
did
heard,
here.
Have you ever heard the term of trying to organize homeopaths is like trying to herd cats?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what, Heidi?
A couple of the associations here just kept applying to the government on their own. And, you know, what happened was that eventually we got a health minister who said, oh, well, this year I'm going to look at, you know, regulating naturopaths and homeopaths. So then we were going
well,
to have
we
a...
Had,
pardon?
We had something. We had a strong attempt at that. I can't remember the official terminology that was used that just fell apart a little over a year ago that involved the major associations. And now, at this point, I'm not aware of any strong, I hope somebody can tell me I'm wrong, but I'm not personally aware of any effective movement in the UK. We definitely need to do that. We definitely need to either put aside our differences and move forward, or one agency needs to go ahead and lobby and say, we represent everybody and hope. And hope that other agencies jump in and say, wait a minute, we're in there too.
Well, I think we're trying to do that with the one medicine. What is the name of that group? They're trying to do that. I do think that they have had a meeting and they're making efforts to communicate with each other. And let's hope that that does move forward. Let's finish up on this so that we can tell people how they need to take some actions.
Okay.
So let's just move on to that. Complacency could spell the beginning of the end for serious homeopathy in the UK. We have to speak out, and the MHRA is taking comments. So I don't know whether they're listening or reading, but they're giving a way for people to contact and connect with them. They must arrive, like you said earlier, in 4 days, by February 18th, and unless you request otherwise, your comments may be publicly available on their website. So
that's
we
correct.
Have a place that you can respond, send to Andrea Farmer, and we're going to just give you the email address here, andrea.farmer@mhra.gsi.gov.uk, mhra.gsi.gov.uk. And we really need to speak out. I'm not sure how many people have already written. I have seen a lot of activity in this regard. The increasing number of scientific studies has shown that homeopathy is effective and that the effect exists even in the laboratory. Dangers are absurdly overstated. Ultimately, though, the greatest objection to restrictions on access to homeopathy is the assumption that the government should decide how to handle our health. This is a health freedom issue. This is a restriction on our rights that must not be condoned. If we cannot decide for ourselves what it means to use in maintaining our health, then we have been reduced to the status of helpless children. And that is your statement, Heidi. And
yes, it is.
I mean, that definitely, in a way, tells us how we could be feeling if we're governed by a body that has no concept of what homeopathy is. And when people truly want to go there, especially after they've gone through all the traditional conventional Western medicine and have not received any alleviation of their symptoms or tending toward cure, and it's their last hope. A lot of people end up coming to homeopathy, and a lot of people, like those living in India, it is part of their life. It is generations upon generations of families have used this to keep healthy. And we have
people,
to acknowledge that. Go ahead.
Yes, there are people like me who literally are alive because of homeopathy. This is not a small issue. It is not an issue of dealing with colds and making symptoms more mild. It is a life and death issue for many people.
And I wanted to address that too. Go ahead.
No, that's basically all I had to say. This is a life and death issue for many people. It is a matter of who has the right to stand there and tell me that I don't have the right to try something. It's that simple.
Yes, and it seems to me if they're delegating homeopathy to mild, acute, self-limiting illnesses, they're acknowledging that it works. And if it works for that, for those types of illnesses, there's no reason why it wouldn't work for chronic illness. So this is a discrepancy.
I'm not so sure that I can agree with that, because I think what they're saying is it doesn't matter if you use something that doesn't work, if it's a self-limiting mild illness, because it's just not a big deal. I think that's really where they're coming from. We need to understand. We need to understand the logic that they're using, because if you don't recognize it, you can't discuss it with them. You can't put holes in it, shall we say. So I think it is important to understand. They're saying it doesn't work. Therefore, it doesn't matter if somebody tries it. But they're also, by the same token, saying it doesn't hurt. No,
okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. It doesn't hurt. So that's good.
That implication has to be made. Yes. Go ahead, please.
I would really like to move on. We have about 10 minutes of the show left. And to talk just about what we normally speak on, who's reading the Organon, about the aphorisms. And we're up to, correct me if I'm mistaken, Marilyn, but I think we're up to aphorism number 165.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, go ahead if you have it before you.
Okay. So if, however, among the symptoms of the remedy selected, there be none that accurately resemble the distinctive characteristics, peculiar and common symptoms of the case of disease, and if the remedy corresponds to the disease only in the general, vaguely described, indefinite states, such as nausea, debility, headache, and so forth, and if there be among the known medicines none more homeopathically appropriate, in that case the physician cannot promise himself any immediate favorable result from the employment of this unhomeopathic medicine.
Okay, so we need to lead into what we've been reading in previous sessions. Each Monday, we've been talking about taking the remedy and making sure that it is a similimum, and if it is not a perfect like cures like, if it's not an exact matching to the symptoms that are elicited by the individual who's sick, and we're giving them a remedy that's similar but not perfectly on target, then we're going to get some extra symptoms coming out possibly, or an aggravation in intensity. We're going to get to see something happening in the individual. So he is saying in aphorism number 165, that's Hahnemann, among the symptoms, he's saying how many choices of remedies do we have? And in his day, he had, 150 remedies?
I think he had 100.
100. I don't know if that's exactly how many he had, but it was much less than the thousands that we have today. And he was very in tune with them. They were his friends. He understood everything about those. And most of them were something called polycrests, meaning that they covered a very large number of symptoms. And so he's saying that there be that you want to find the change in the individual. What is distinctive and characteristic and particularly peculiar and uncommon about that person, about that case where they're sick? So if you say they come in and they have a cold and they say, well, I just have a runny nose and a headache, it's not really uncommon for a person with a cold to have that. So he's looking for some peculiar symptoms from the change from the normal state to the unwell state to select his remedy. And if the remedy corresponds to the disease only in general and not with these specific and peculiar, then you're going to have what's going to happen.
Well, the remedy may act, but it's not going to be. It's not going to take you all the way through to cure.
Mm-hmm. So he even calls it unhomeopathic because it has not been selected precisely on that individual's peculiar and characteristic symptoms.
You might get a Band-Aid, a little of a Band-Aid solution, but that'll be about it.
Heidi, do you have any thoughts on this? Is she
still
with us?
Really, that's going to add. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
No, I'm staying silent because I don't think I can begin to touch either you or Marilyn on this.
Okay.
I'm listening and learning.
Okay. So we're all together with this, and we've been reading the aphorisms, and he follows one aphorism after the next to really answer, preempt our questions that we may have, and why is this remedy that I've selected not working? And really, it's because homeopathy is a process. It's a dynamic. It's between the medicinal dose and the individual. It's between the practitioner and the patient. It's not just a product that sits on a shelf. That is not homeopathy. Homeopathy is so much more. And people need to learn that and understand it. It's a completely different way of thinking about medicine and about health. So that's why Hahnemann himself says, well, if you didn't match this, then it's really not even homeopathic. He's calling it unhomeopathic medicine. Let's see if we have time for, we have time for aphorism number 166.
You want me to read it? Is that why you're silent?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Such a case is, however, very rare, owing to the increased number of medicines whose pure effects are now known and the bad effects resulting from it, when they do occur, are diminished whenever a subsequent medicine or of more accurate resemblance can be selected.
What is he saying?
Well, he's just, I think what he's just saying is, you know, because there's more remedies being proven and that when you use something, you know, that is more homeopathically appropriate, then you diminish the bad effects of the whatever it was that you gave before.
Mm-hmm. Hahnemann is stating that it's very rare that you're not going to be able to find the remedy because he feels that he has enough remedies in his toolbox and he knows them well enough that he's going to be able to find the right one. Excuse me. He was very, very secure and confident about his prescribing ability.
Yes, but I think if you read some of his, Dana
Ullman.
Ullman wrote a book not long ago. I can't remember the title, but or was it him, about the later years of Hahnemann, later writings of him?
Yeah.
Which is quite revealing. And what we find in there is that he wasn't as consistently successful as we would like to believe, and I think we need to recognize that fact. I don't want to take away from all that Hahnemann was, but at the same time, I wonder, in light of that, if we might not look at that and say, well, wait a minute, maybe he was a little more positive thinking than was realistic in that particular aphorism. I don't know what you think about that, but I did want to.
I would love to find find some readings from those later works and find out what he was thinking
David,
at the time.
David Little Sight, H-O-E, Ho.
Yeah.
And he's got some articles on, he's got some great articles that are open for you to read. In his little library, it's called, The Little Library.
Great. Well,
that's
we'll
great
pick
title.
Up some of those. We'll pick up some of those quotes and bring them in for the next show, maybe, so we can understand where Hahnemann himself was in his understanding of the remedies in homeopathy. Because we know that he did write six of these books, the Organon of Medicine, and each one had many revisions as he was more in tune with homeopathy and how it worked, and providing that information for us as students. So let's go ahead to aphorism number one. Oh, do you have a statement?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about what Heidi was saying. And, you know, even I for myself, when I prescribe, even if I don't get the similimum, even if I know that the remedy that I've picked from the feedback that I get from the patient, you know, it didn't really do everything it's supposed to do, the fact that I didn't really get it right on is almost mitigated by the fact that the patient feels better and that we did it safely and we did it gently and we did it without any side effects, really. And that is more than they would have gotten had they not come to a homeopathic practitioner. So instead of beating ourselves up that we didn't get the correct similimum, we also have to look at it and say, what have we achieved?
Right. That's a very
positive
way
of
looking.
I needed to hear that. Thank you, Marilyn. That was very good timing.
And you know, Heidi, as well, in aphorism 166, he's telling us that we're going to expect it, and in the previous aphorisms, we're going to expect these extra effects that are not part of the healing process. And he says when they occur, they are diminished whenever a subsequent medicine, a more accurate resemblance, can be selected. Which means that, okay, we see where we've gone off the path. We're a little bit off. It's not exactly like you're tuning in the radio dial and you're listening to that sound and you want a clearer, purer sound to come through. By making a slight adjustment to the remedy, which could be either the potency or the frequency of giving it or the remedy itself, selection, that we have the ability as homeopaths to do this fine-tuning, which is not something that allopathy has provided. You just get this drug and take it so many hours apart and you repeat it for 10 days and you either get... feel like your symptoms have been suppressed and go away, or and something else happens usually, or you get worse, you know. So
well, you definitely get the sledgehammer effect, which from the allopathic drug, because you get the full range of effects. You don't just get the one that they're hoping you might get. Whereas in homeopathy, any effect that you get is a result of something that your system is in need of. So even when it appears to be a negative effect, it's probably your body attempting to heal as opposed to something that is suppressing your body's healing abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most difficult...
There's no more time in the show, ladies. It's been wonderful. I want to thank everyone for joining me. Marilyn Friedman in Toronto, Canada, and Heidi Stevenson, who runs an incredible website with fantastic articles about homeopathy and health, and even larger than that. We hope to have her on more frequently. And thank you, ladies. I'm going to close the show and wishing everyone a wonderful Valentine's Day full of love and joy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with host Debbie Brock on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to take your Organon off the shelf and read it.